Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Fareem, welcome to the Triple M Friday Huddle for McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh yes, it's Friday, you beauty, under the roof at Etihad Stadium. Huge game of footy. Have big bearing on finals. This one, the Dogs taking on the GWS Giants. The Dogs have had four wins in a row. The Giants are off a couple of nice wins as well. So massive game coming your way in the next hour and 50 minutes. There, you get plenty of entertainment on the Friday Huddle. The coach of the GWS Giants, Leon Cameron, to join us. The world's nicest footballer, Dale Morris, will join us in the box. Out with a broken arm at the moment from the Western Bulldogs. Judge Juddy is in the house and all things more. And I look around this box and there's a bit of a nice strut. There's a bit of confidence, especially from Damien after the footy show ratings came in. Luke Darcy, Chris Judd, Damien Barrett, Nathan Brown. We've been sworn off ratings in the last month or so, Darce. But Damo said, could we maybe try and squeeze into the rundown early tonight?
Yeah, that's right. And obviously, Juddy's the new recruit. Welcome, Howie, to you as well. Great to be. Big game coming up. And Juddy was the man who I think took the footy show down a few weeks back. Disappointing result, Juddy, from your point of view.
I've always felt like it's not a competition, to be honest. The relationship between the front bar and the footy show, I describe it as collegiate. We work together. The game's big enough for two shows. And we congratulate them on their performance, but you know we're working together essentially, so share the spoils.
It's a very different tune to what we heard a month ago, Damien.
I think I've matured.
How did you feel your performance was last night, Damien?
Very minimal, Brownie, very minimal, but we didn't have reason to talk about it for the last 2 weeks, Howie, because we didn't have a show the last 2 weeks, but I didn't ask for this to be tabled. Just please remind our listeners you might have made that little bit up.
Congratulations on the numbers, though, and well done to everyone involved in the footy show. Hey, a lot of footy news to get through. The Gold Coast, you had Rodney Eade on the show last night. What's happened up there at the Gold Coast? What was the mood of Rodney Eade?
Look, he was 3 or 4 days after being told on the Monday night of the week just gone that he was out of that job. He'd certainly got his head around it. And I believe deep down, Howie, he felt this was coming, coming on the Monday of the week in question. Might have been a little bit of a change of the time frame in which he thought it might have unfolded. But look, he's had it happen to him before, as he said last night. It's the third time he's had his coaching career ended prematurely. Obviously at the Swans first when Paul Roos took over, and then at the Bulldogs, Darce, and then obviously now at Gold Coast. And yeah, look, he's pretty open, Howie. And look, what he will do now, almost guaranteed, is get a job at a lower level, either at a footy club of a very serious, significant nature, or at the AFL. He's not going to be lost to the system. He's too good a football brain to be lost to the system. So that will be the next thing for him now.
This is Rodney Eade on the footy show last night.
Now, I suppose, having been told the night before, my headspace was in a different angle, was in a different place. Probably regret that to a degree, because had some great relationship with the players, and 35 of them sent me a text or phoned up, and most of them been very heartfelt, which has been great. So yeah, in hindsight, I probably should have, but I thought you go there, having experienced it before, that everyone's fat, they don't know what to say, you feel like you're going to an executioner's sort of room, but I should have, or you should have taken that option.
Yeah, that surprised me, Dame. I was watching the footy show last night and flicking over to Juddy as well, of course. But I thought that would be something he'd regret, Rocket, not actually taking the time out to go and see the players and the staff. I think once you've spent 3 years at a place, you probably, as awkward as that is, you probably owe it to yourself and to the staff to do that. I mean, having said that, I love the fact now in football, he's a full-time premiership player, Rocket. He's been around. He's one of the most intriguing people. He's a great person, Rocket. Love being around him. In the past, if you got axed, that was the end of your time in football. Mm. Now we're a bit more mature than that, so he will get a great role, as you said, Damo.
Yeah, again, whether he wants to go back into the club land like he had before he took the Gold Coast job, where he was at Collingwood, and Eddie obviously had the plan for him to be the main man there for Nathan Buckley. That changed, obviously, and look, the AFL, I know, values him very highly as well. So
what sort of a role would he have at the AFL, potentially?
Well, there's obviously a vacancy in the footy ops department. I wouldn't expect him to be that. No. Simon Lefflin replacement, but there's nothing stopping him from being beneath that person or working even in another newly created portfolio that works closely with that person. We can almost lock that in whether it be the club land or AFL land, but that's what he will do.
I'm intrigued by the Gary Ablett story. It seems to keep bubbling along. He's not playing again this week with hamstring issues, Damien, from what we're led to believe.
That's correct, and that's happened now, what, 5 times in the past, basically 9 or 10 weeks, and look, there's differing reasons for those soft tissue issues. The big picture doesn't go away, and the big picture remains him wanting to get back to Geelong. His wife clearly wants that to happen, to leave the Gold Coast and come back to Victoria. And and the Geelong side will now need to work out a way to do this. We know that Chris Scott's, I believe anyway, driving this still very hard, but others around him aren't as absolutely all in on that project. And I say they aren't all in because of the logistics around it. There's a financial component to it. There's also what do they give up in order to keep Gold Coast happy by way of exchange, given he is contracted for 2018. And they're not going to take the pick 81, for instance, that Hawthorn did effectively for Sam Mitchell going to West Coast. This is going to have to be either a late first-round pick or an early second-round pick or an exchange of picks within that zone. And that, anyways, that can be done. But it's going to have to be significant for Geelong to get him on their books.
What's the financial component that you refer to?
I believe that when he re-signed the latest part of his deal, which was 3 years, that it was for about $3-point-something million over those 3 years. I also believe that he's been paid up front a fair chunk of that. So I feel that going into that last year of the deal, which will be next year, that it could well be as low as, on the financial money that he's already taken out of this latest deal, it could be as low as $500,000 to $600,000.
Really?
So we're not dealing with $1 million salary in play for Gary Ablett on 2018 figures, the way he's taken the money.
That opens the door, Damo. I'm surprised to hear that. I haven't heard that before. I thought that was going to be the biggest hurdle, Juddy, would be Geelong chock-a-block in the salary cap, you'd assume, having got Dangerfield and loaded up with all the players they have. If that is the money, you think that would be manageable, Juddy?
I think that money potentially becomes manageable with that new info. I think the issue is not so much did Geelong want Gary Ablett to play again at their club because he's arguably the greatest player of all time and he's still playing terrific footy. It's can they give enough to Gold Coast, like you point out, for them to deal because he's contracted. And you know that when you've got a contracted player, essentially you do hold the aces. So that'll be the arm wrestling. I would assume publicly you'll have Geelong say, we're not really interested, and try and dull down the level of interest they have.
That is happening as we speak.
And Gold Coast will say, well, he's definitely a required player to make Geelong realise that they're going to have to come and pay up if they want him. But that'll be the challenge. And it will probably come down to what the new coach's philosophy is and where he sees that list.
Yep. And as unsavoury as it may sound, if I'm Gold Coast, I'm preparing to have him sit out of football next year, given what the commitment they gave to him initially and even most recently when they re-signed him to 3 years. And I know that sounds pretty harsh and even nasty for someone who's given a lot back, but when he did sign, they did it in good faith, as he did. But if you can't get the compensation back your way, and he's already gone public in within this season, which was, as we know, only the start of the second year of a three-year deal. He went public himself with this.
So what's a fair deal then, Damo, to get this done? Because we don't want to labour this point too much, but if they give up a player, you know, let's say Colin Jasny is a defender, he goes and joins his brother on the Gold Coast, that's a fair deal?
No, I think
that'd be
a starting point. If it's a Colin Jasny,
he's a good player. If you somehow play for 10 years, So I think if Gold Coast forced him out and that ended his career and stood out for you, that would be the end of his career for me. And give up a 10-year player, I think Geelong have got to give up something like that, an 8 to 10 year player that of quality that fits their need, and then
they'll need more than a Colin Jasny, for instance.
Colin Jasny and maybe a pick 40, 50, somewhere around that.
Might get it started talking.
If it doesn't happen, would he play for Gold Coast next year or not?
I don't see that happening. I don't feel that he's going to be in the situation to do it. So, to me, the way I read it and how things change, so I don't mean this to sound like I'm having an each-way bet, but the way we read this and have been reading this for some time now, it's either Geelong or he doesn't play.
So he would sit out of football for a year.
I believe the desire to come home for a number of reasons, and we've chosen, as we know, Brownie, on the Friday Huddle regularly to not go into those reasons. We don't need to, but they're legitimate reasons, but they don't need to be discussed publicly.
Let's just focus on this game for a minute, gentlemen, because this is a huge game of football as far as the final eight's concerned. Dogs lose tonight. Giants win tonight. Crikey, Darce, a big game, especially for your footy club, I reckon.
It's got a huge amount riding on it, Howie, this one. And this is a team that's developing a nice little history between the two of them. Prelim final last year was just an unbelievable game. We know the Dogs won that by 6 points. There's been a lot of players that have changed hands. Juddy Brownie, Damo as well. Callum Ward left and, as a player, the Bulldogs were devastated to leave. Ryan Griffin, when he left as captain, back the other way, Tom Boyd. So there's been a bit of ill feeling between the two clubs. They have played sensational. The game at the in Canberra earlier in the year that John Patton kicked a big goal outside 50 to win the game. So not only is there a heap riding on it, but it's always looking like a really good contest.
Yeah, ripping game. And I think I give the Dogs a huge chance. I know they're not playing the sort of footy they were last year, but they're on a bit of a run now. And they won that game against Brisbane last week where everyone thought that they were going to get rolled late in the game. Bontempelli was outstanding. But the big thing about GWS, they've come here twice this year and they've lost twice. They got touched up by St Kilda. So they don't play this ground as well as other grounds. So give the Dogs a huge chance tonight.
Yep, I think that's a big factor in it. And the Bulldogs, actually, they've had a lot of injuries, but sort of shaping, Juddy, a little similar for those who follow the Bulldogs pretty closely, in that they're getting good players back now. Johannesson plays. In comes Tory Dixon as well, is a really important player. They get Stringer back as well, Jake Stringer. So they're big inclusion. The defence looks a little bit light on. Morris and Easton Wood out, so there's a little bit of a question mark there. But aside from that, it's about as good a team as they've fielded all year.
It is, but you get the impression GWS are just starting to get some healthy bodies back on the park as well. We see Patton coming back in, Toby Green from suspension, Delidio last week. So it's going to be a huge battle between the two teams. Just about my two favourite teams to watch playing. I think a couple of times when I've seen the Dogs take on GWS, GWS still have a penchant to just bang the ball in long into their forward line. I'd just like to see them be a little bit smarter with their ball use tonight entering that forward 50. But battle through the middle, it's going to be huge.
Do you reckon that was the first time last week all year I've seen GWS play the way they did last year? That orange just tsunami that from the back end all the way to the forward end, that overlap running. They were, and Dylan Scheel is a main part of that, and I thought they were brilliant last week. This is set up to be one of the games of the year.
One late change apparently, Damo?
Yeah, with Mumford coming out of that GWS team, they have made a late change. Dawson Simpson in, and Tomlinson is the person who's made the way for him out of last night's selected team. So out of last night's team, Tomlinson out, Dawson Simpson in, but we already know Mumford's out suspended.
Gee, it's been a big few weeks for the AFL as far as superstars of the game as well. Hodgie retires, Rewalt says he's pulling up stumps this week. We say goodbye to Joe Watson, but the one that really got me, Stevie J, because an impartial, he's a bums on seats man, Darce, and he will be missed. He will be missed from this great game. Hopefully he goes out on a high, because he's a man that puts a smile on your face when you're watching him play footy, I reckon.
And we love that sort of player. The game, Howie, because it's becoming a rarer commodity, and we have got one in the box here, as we've often said, didn't offer a hell of a lot apart from being one of the all-time greats, but decided to shut down completely for 15 years, and now he's become good. But I'm concerned, Juddy, that there's going to be more and more robots coming through, because kids are eyeing it off, Damo, from the age of about 14.
Yeah.
They go into a system where they are
out of them.
Absolutely. Stevie J's lob from the country turned up and had no idea what was going on, and it offers something that we love.
I think you probably only get one at a club now, don't you? One loose sort of unit that you sit there and you go, wow, I have to watch him play, like Razzle Dazzle at Essendon. You've got Toby Green, who'll be out here tonight. Maybe at the Dogs, you've got Jake Stringer, but the rest of them are pretty much... they form in line.
And there's no doubt Fev will be doing sportsman's nights in 50 years' time, Duke, because these young players are not going to have any stories.
Can you just imagine, when you talked about how boring Juddy was as a player, can you imagine if his modern media persona was involved when he was playing football, how big you would have been, Juddy? If you were doing post-game interviews after getting the three votes, or a Brownlow speech that included some of your Judge Juddy material, mate, you would have been bigger than LeBron.
Sorry, I was just focused on helping my team win games of footy, Howie. This is your greed coming out, Howie, and it knows no bounds, your greed.
You got it wrong.
You might have won four Brownlows.
You could have.
In fact, I would have backed you in to do that. You would have actually come out of your shell even on the field as a result of coming out of your shell.
Never too late to come out, though. And that's been the message from this Triple M experience, Duke.
Yeah, a bit of news.
Take that any way you want as well.
Your point, though, Darce, about the way the system now works, where by the time they get to the top level, it's taken out of them. And it's annoying, certainly for we on this side of the fence, when it comes to the media coverage of it. And look, the media training they get is of a nature that just takes out all individuality out of it, yep. which I get, by the way, but it just means, as you pointed out and as you started this conversation, Stevie J is the last of the Mohicans.
It's across all sports, though, Damien, unfortunately.
US sports.
Yeah, yep. Exactly right, yep. Which is why, as I said, if Judge Juddy had rolled out his stuff getting his second Brownlow from Bruce McAvaney, I still think it'll be the most talked about speech in the history of football.
It's an Australian thing, though, Howie, sorry, isn't it?
It is, unfortunately.
The actual Australian public don't really like it. I mean, we even started to see it with Dangerfield a week or two ago. It just does get a different response.
Syndrome.
It does.
A great Greg Norman quote. We know that the Sharks out there as well, but this is something that he's been on the record of saying. In America, if you earn some money and you decide to buy a nice car and you pull up in it, someone comes along in America and says, hey, man, nice car, love your car. In Australia, someone runs the keys down the side of it. And that's the difference, isn't it?
Yeah, as he said after winning the British Open, that he was in awe of himself. And I still think it is my favourite quote in the history of Australian sport. Not good news at the D's. Jack Watts is out of that side, Damo, but Brayshaw comes back in. But what's happening with Jack Watts? Probably hasn't hit top form after the hamstring?
Yeah, since the hamstring, basically. And we saw, didn't he, only got the four touches before half-time of the most recent game, and it wasn't at all a good performance. Again, I admire Simon Goodwin for making the tough call. It would have been easy to try and persevere with him and get him through, because you'd think if they are going to do some damage, and they could still, if they win this Sunday's game against St Kilda and the two beyond it, which are very winnable, they could still be finals bound. But clearly when you go into round 21, having been taken out of the team by choice, something's not quite right with how you're contributing to that team.
Yeah, good luck to Angus Brayshaw. He's had all those issues with concussion. Juddy, your man Levi Casbolt. What's happening down there at Carlton? Is he not signed at the moment, Damien? Big Levi?
Yeah, what's happened there is he has rejected the offer from Carlton. And the way I read it, it's about, say, $350,000, $360,000 guaranteed with provisions in it, Brownie, to get that figure up significantly should he reach certain performance requirements. But he's rejected it, and now, upon rejecting it, the club itself has said, well, that's it. Get your head around that offer. We're not increasing it. And as such, I don't see him being there.
Damon, I won't get much out of Jad on this. He's going to join the board of Carlton, understandably. But I've got to take exception at this from the player's point of view, because, in fairness, Levi Casbolt has offered very, very little for a long period of time at Carlton. Hasn't been able to deliver. Finally showing some signs that he might. And if he then shops himself around and then decides to leave for, you know, for an increase, a slight increase, then I reckon the footy calm is not great. I think he's been supported really, really well, unless he's been completely dudded, which I don't think footy clubs do these days.
Well, then
I reckon you're being poorly managed and poorly advised if you decide that your future's elsewhere, because I think it's a two-way street there, and I don't think that's a smart move.
I agree. And again, I can't get information on whether the offer they've put to him is for as little as 1 year.
Well, that's
and
it might well be. I don't know.
And
that,
if you get 2 or 3 years outside, but of course you allow
that's
him
a different
to.
Ball. I'm assuming all is relatively equal.
Yep.
Then
yep.
I think you do everything you can.
I agree.
To stay where you've been supported.
But I think what he's also dealing with too is the deal he's currently on, as far as I read it, Darcy, is similar to the one they've offered him next time around. Possibly the one next time around, maybe a little bit less.
Do you think he's in line for a massive, massive pay increase, Levi Casbolt? Do you
think that? Well, when you get the ball in your hands last week and you're 2 or 3 points down, you get a chance to kick the goal, Juddy, as he did, and didn't, as he so often doesn't. It's unfortunate for him that this contract...
That's where footy is, though, Darcy, at the moment, because, I mean, they are offering... The young fella up in Brisbane, $700,000 or $800,000. I tend to agree that he hasn't done enough yet to be able to shop himself around. It'd be interesting to know what it is, whether it's a 1 year deal or a 3 year deal, what the incentives are on top of that. Because if it's a performance based thing, you'd probably just about try and back yourself in, play for Carlton, who need him because they need another tall forward. I think they're going okay. Curnow's going to be an absolute superstar along with Silvani, but they definitely need that third tall.
I think you've got to be careful too. There is a bit of theatre around contract negotiations nowadays, and I don't think it's uncommon for players to try and get a bit of leverage. So we'll just see how it plays out.
Oh, spoken by someone who's about to join that board and may know something more than he's prepared.
Which
to
concerns me. Nez, straighten us up, please, crikey.
Thank you very much, Howie. I've got the GWS coach, Leon Cameron, with me. Leon, while these boys are still chuckling at Chris Judd's work upstairs, run us through the late change for us.
Yeah, we brought in Dawson Simpson for Adam Tomlinson. It was on the back of the last 24 hours. We had a six-day break and we hadn't finalised their team. And we just thought about it over the last 24 hours and thought we really wanted to go in with two ruckmen. It's been working the last few weeks. Dawson played 2 weeks ago and was terrific in the ruck. And obviously we've lost Mummy. And we know Ruffhead's in pretty good form. And when they named Cloak, we thought, well, they're going in with just sort of two big boys, and we didn't think Rory Lobb could handle it on his own.
Now, we know that Toby Green's coming back in tonight off the suspension, and this is the team that he obviously got suspended for earlier in the year up against Caleb Daniel. Have you had another word to him, and what's his response been?
No, I haven't had another word to him. I think I've probably spoken to him too much. Look, to be totally honest, narrowly, look, time's going to tell. Am I really confident? Yes, I am. After his first suspension, he was terrific for 6 or 7 weeks. We know the incident in the Richmond game was disappointing. And, you know, we were disappointed as a club because we lost him for 2 weeks. He was disappointed. But I think people have got to understand he's doing an enormous amount of work off the field. because he doesn't want to miss footy. And I don't want him to lose his aggression, but we know the right balance. So no doubt it's going to be, you know, he's going to be nervous tonight. It's a big opportunity. It's Friday night footy. He's under the microscope, but every time he's been put under the microscope, he's responded in a really, really good way.
How about you, Leon? How's the hand? Wasn't your best punch, let's be honest with you. You hit the window frame, Leon. That wasn't your smartest move. Have you got through that okay?
Yeah. I mean, just starting to go a little bit crazy over the last few weeks, but it's probably four years in, it starts to get to you, I think, Dus. But, yeah, look, it was on the back of Lockie Whitfield missing that goal from 4 or 5 metres. It was, you know, just one of those reactions, stupid, shouldn't have done it, and live and learn.
You know, this is one of the most unflappable people I've ever met, Brownie. So to see him lash out means that it is a stressful cave. But you're very stiff not to have Mamie. I know you can't comment on it, but for every replay I've seen, he's tried to avoid contact there. That must be frustrating.
You're right, Dus. I probably don't want to comment on it. Damo, you might write a piece on it tomorrow, might you?
No, I think it's all been said, and he spoke pretty well about it last night, didn't he, I think? And look, I had the view he had to go for what it's worth, Leon, but I can certainly see why you would be disappointed, given, as Dus said, he did seem to make every endeavour to not make contact.
Yeah, look, it's a tough job. It's just obviously that medium impact to low impact and looking at history and all that sort of stuff. Look, the fact is he's not playing tonight. We're loving that Dawson Simpson can come in and have a good crack at it. It's done and dusted now. And, you know, Mummies did have a choice first up. He probably needed to tackle, let's be honest there. But the impact probably, I didn't think, deserved the suspension.
Yep.
It's great to see Brett Deledio back out there last week, Leon. Played mainly forward, in and out, off the bench. Will he play mainly forward for the rest of the year? Do you see him going to half back or on the wing?
Yeah, Branny, I think he will mainly play forward. Look, it's very enticing to put him on the halfback flank because he breaks the lines, he makes great decisions with his hands and his feet. We know that. It's another great test for him because it's your second up in your AFL games when you've come back from a long history is always interesting because you're excited, but sometimes you can actually have a little bit of a lull. So, but he'll play forward tonight. He's trained really well. Especially on the 6 day break, he's been, really, really good nick on the track. I think bit by bit offensively, he'll get 5 or 10% better. The pleasing thing about last week, which is probably he's not known for, is his defensive stuff. He really tackled well, and that was great from his point of view.
Leon, there's been quite a lot made of tackling during the week. It was a bit of a hot topic. Have you actually done anything from a technical point of view with your players to modify the way they're tackling, or has it already been implemented early on during the season?
Early on during the season, Juddy, I sort of said during the week, I think it might have been last week actually, on the back of the first one suspension, Dangerfield. All through pre-season we just practiced because the 18 coaches sort of had a really good discussion over the draft weekend, I think we all caught up, about the intent to hurt someone that used to be there. And collectively we probably looked at each other and said, well, we've got to make sure we take more care in this tackling. So you go about your pre-season in nailing them. You still try to get, you know, an arm so they can't obviously release the ball. But the second part is obviously taking him to ground with venom or not venom or a double action. So we've practiced all year. We continue to practice. I know it's a hot topic at the moment. Unfortunately, there's just going to be some things that just pop up, like some injuries just pop up. It's one part of the game, isn't it?
Yep. And Leon, Stevie Johnson making the decision during the week to announce retirement. Will pursue an assistant coaching career beyond this season. Do you rate his footy, Nous?
Yeah, I do. Damo, look, it's easy for me to say because I'm his coach at the moment and, you know, you always want to say the right thing about your players. But, like, I only knew Steve from afar before he came to the Giants. He spends a lot of time on running patterns, obviously ability to kick goals. He teaches players how to hold the ball. We all know that. But it's his ability to talk about running patterns and ball movement and changing angles, which we know Geelong was so good at, you know, in that, you know, era where they were just unbeatable and he was a part of. He's a footy fanatic. To be totally honest, he watches that much footy, it's not funny. When he can train, he trains. Obviously, he's restricted. So he is a footy fanatic. He will make a very good coach. There's no doubt us as a club will be talking about that when the season finishes, and there'll be a number of clubs from Melbourne and probably throughout Australia that will want his services.
Leon, Luke Beveridge is a good mate of yours. You played footy with him, you coached with him at Hawthorn. You've had some great battles in the coach's box. Do you go in tonight feeling like you understand what he's going to try and do tonight, maybe better than other coaches?
Not really. Darcy's... look, he's a premiership coach for a reason. He's done a remarkable job in the last 2.5 to 3 years. And he's very... it's interesting because the ability to throw his players around, and you know he's probably going to go in with 7 or 8 mids tonight that'll play wing, forward pocket, forward flank, in the middle, some of them even go into halfback flank. And sometimes that's really hard to track. If you get if you sort of worry about that too much, it can actually take your eye off what we're really good at. So, you know, like he's obviously added another string with Cloak and Redpath. It's probably the first time we've played the Dogs with two keys and Stringer. So normally we've come up against them when they normally only have one key and Stringer and the rest are small. So that's going to be intriguing and interesting for us to combat tonight. But, yeah, look, it's going to be a great game, and hopefully we're the ones singing the song at the end.
And, Bakes, how have you seen the rise of Luke Darcy from someone who lived with you as a youngster, like a giraffe who couldn't stand up on his own 2 feet, to a guy that catches helicopters to Bulldog Family Days these days?
He did that last year, didn't he, Brownie?
Yes.
It was well received, Leon. I think you'll understand. They loved it out there.
Yeah, they did. I'm pretty sure they would have done. So in the western suburbs of Footscray, they're probably not used to helicopters. But, Brownie, I don't think you can probably ask that question.
Oh, yes.
I like it. A nice way to finish, Coach. We appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and the Giants tonight.
Good on you guys. Cheers.
Do you know what I love, Hallie? It's almost like a truce, because if you start opening up the locker, anything could happen. Yeah. Too smart to go down that path, was Leon. We lived together for a long period of time. You're a smart-ass, Brownie.
Yeah. Really looking forward to the Saturday rub from midday tomorrow from G-Town, I believe. Brian Taylor just wandered into the box, sort of looked at you, Damien, and I don't know if any words were passed, but then he just walked straight back out there.
Yeah, we can go with a bit of theatre on the Friday huddle and Triple M footy over its 21-year history. A bit of theatre has been a healthy part of it. But what is real is that at the moment BT wants to pummel Damien Barrett.
Yes, not happy.
We're trying to work out why. And I've got a fair idea that it might be linked to a story from last weekend that the boys are talking about going with on Saturday that could be the end of the Saturday rub.
What I just
I reckon
say
it could
that,
be the end.
Oh, look, there is no doubt he does want to kill
he
me.
But he seriously wants to.
No, it's actually real. And I'm not one for the theatre of this sort. He actually does want to kill me. But what I don't understand, Darcy, is that I know what's happened here and I've had nothing to do with it. You, on the other hand, have.
Well, that's to be proven, Damo.
Let's fill the listener in, Damo, who doesn't.
Well, it revolves around BT this time last Friday getting his wife Tanya to call in sick off Channel 7.
He denies that.
Well, he was sick off Channel 7.
He said he made the call.
Okay, well, Duck was the one who said that Tanya made the call.
Oh,
let's take that bit out of it. He didn't work for Channel 7. We then roll into Saturday. He didn't work for Triple M on the Saturday during the day.
Nothing wrong with being sick, Purple.
No.
He's unable to work in any capacity.
And it's beyond refute that he was sick, okay? So let's table all of that. But he was then spotted somewhere not long after that Saturday. And we're going to leave this now, Howie, for tomorrow, because it needs to be threshed out with Brian looking at us. But the problem that I've personally got with that is...
He was working, Purple.
Look, Jim's still putting this story together too. Darce is aware of it, but there is an issue that is going to be played out on air tomorrow.
To say it's created some tension, Howie, is the understatement of the year.
Is there photo evidence?
Yes.
Well, that'll be on the Saturday wrap for tomorrow. It's always a bit nasty when there's cash involved, so we'll get the full story there. Get the full story at midday tomorrow. Talking about cash, you were just relating a little story in the break that maybe your man Leon Cameron's pretty tight on the dollar.
Well, we actually were saying, as we had spoke to the GWS coaches before the break, is that there's a great sort of unknown truth in the industry. If you know someone well enough, you don't want to launch too many stories because there's enough that could come back. So courageously, now that Leon's not on air, I will fill you in on one that Brownie just reminded me about. I actually escaped my mind. I lived with Leon for maybe 6 or 7 years. Brownie lived with us for a period of time too, which was very interesting.
And, it was good. It was good.
And Leon's very financially astute, Judd. He'd be man after your own heart. And anyway, he was a subscriber to Reader's Digest, unbeknownst to me. And the mail's coming in. I'd get the mail, and they were running a $1 million draw. to win. And every week or so, you're down to the final 5,000 to win the $1 million of Reader's Digest. Leon would file that neatly on his desk and put it away. So I was sort of watching this with interest. You're down to the final 2,000. Leon's eyes are sort of popping up a little bit. That'd get filed into the, down to the final 1,000, down to the final. I'm watching Leon just sort of studiously put these aside. And I thought it would be interesting to open one of those letters when he got down to the final couple hundred. And then take it to a graphic artist and change the letter to say, congratulations, Leon, you've won the $1 million. Well done, Reader's Digest. And the man did a very fine job. I sealed it up. I put it back in the envelope. And I'm waiting for the mail to get open. It took me about 5 or 6 days. We're sitting there over breakfast, Jody, and I watched Leo go through a couple of bills and then a couple. And then he opens the Reader's Digest. And then he looked up. He looked for a half a second at me. And then he put it back in. And then he didn't say a word. Did not say a word. So that is a man who's assumed he's won $1 million and he doesn't say anything. So I then straight bat. And I, about 2 weeks later, I'm driving along in his car and the phone rings on hands-free. And the guy says, it's Stephen from Reader's Digest. Is that Leon? Yeah, it is. I'd just like to say you've been the recipient of a horrible prank. the draw hasn't been done yet. You haven't. He shot a look at me that were amazed at me for a lifetime. So he'd actually rung Reader's Digest to complain that his money hadn't arrived. Very, very careful with a dollar, is Leon.
Oh, good.
Nate, talking about stories, you were in fine form last Saturday on the Saturday Rub. Now, you sort of basically had a crack at every one player on every list in the competition. For those that might not be aware, I thought it was a bit cutting. I thought it went a little bit too far. You spoke about Gary Ablett, who you're about to hear from, then Sam Butler and Robert Murphy.
I'd walk up to Gary Ablett and say, talk about you heading back to Geelong. I hear your teammates are buying you the airfare.
Oh!
West Coast Eagles. I'd be just rolling up to Sam Butler. I said, you're the only premiership Eagle and no bastard's ever heard of you. And the Western Bulldogs, I'd be reminding Bob Murphy, no matter how many times you watch that vision of yourself on the day, you didn't win a premiership.
Oh, that's Bambi he's gone after. Disrespectful, I found it, Nathan.
It's funny.
Was there much blowback this week?
Most of it was positive. There was obviously a little bit of a negative coming out. I tell you, when I thought that maybe I'd stepped over the line a little bit too far, when you hear that audio, people laughing, it's quite jovial. But when you read it in print in the Herald Sun, there's no context to how it's said. And it sounded a little bit nasty.
Any communication between you and Rob Murphy this week?
No. I left that one alone because I think I figured if I had to send him anything, he would have just thought that I was doing a Terry Wallace cover off for you guys. The player would give us a massive spray, but then 20 minutes later come up and put his arm around you. So it was called the Terry Wallace cover off. And if I had to text him, I reckon he would have not text back anything just to make me sweat about it.
Sam Butler spoke on Perth radio during the week, and I believe it was brought his attention.
Obviously, you haven't won one, and you've never heard of me, but you just wrote my name down and came up to me. So you've...
Very good point.
You've contradicted yourself many times there. And when you come after someone for winning a premiership, it's a pretty easy comeback straight from there. Nathan Brown, I don't actually know who you are, but good for you.
Goodbye, Sam. Oh. I thought
you got to take it. You got to take it on the chin. It was quite funny. He obviously forgotten who I was. Many players in that era that play for the West Coast Eagles have short-term memory loss, obviously, as well. So I can't blame Sam for forgetting a few things.
That's a direct attack on one of our own here. Chris Juddy was a big part of it.
And he's done well to come out of it.
Can you handle the pressure?
You can't handle the pressure!
We don't think the boys can.
It's got me under pressure.
Time for the pressure test.
That's it. It is the Dogs' take on the GWS Giants. One late change as far as the GWS go. Damien Barrett?
Yes, Tomlinson out of the selected team. Dawson Simpson in. And we knew prior to last night how he obviously, Shane Mumford being suspended is the reason that Dawson Simpson came in. And Leon Cameron gave a context to that change only moments ago.
133-53. Give yourself a chance to go on the running for you and three mates. The Medallion Club at Etihad Stadium next weekend. And be in the running for two tickets this year's Toyota AFL Grand Final. The pressure test quiz, you're taking on Darce. The good news there, Damo, is it means Juddy is once again answering the phones with his warm work that he does. He's very good at small talk. He's had some lessons from Beck this week, maybe just to warm things up a bit. All right, Christopher, take it away.
We're just speaking to Seb from Melbourne here. Seb, how are you going?
G'day, Chris, how are you going?
Very well, thank you. What do you do with yourself, Seb?
Compliance.
Compliance. Ah, very good. I'll put you over there.
Good start by our man. All right, Chrissy, here we go, my friend. Seven players, and this is a tough one this week. Seven players have booted 9 goals or more in a game at Etihad Stadium. Name 5 of those players.
Matty Loy.
Yep.
Mark Krah.
Yes.
Brendan Favola.
No. But a nice start. Juddy, who have we got next?
We've got Cameron for Richmond. Cameron, what are you up to tonight?
Oh, come on, Juddy.
All right, Cameron's off. we'll go with Mark from Thornbury. Mark, you there?
Oh, Juddy, you haven't.
This is a stink. This is a setup. This is a setup from the big nose producer. It's got his mitts all over it.
We're having a nightmare. Keep going. Who's next on there? Who we got?
We'll go from Ben from Warrnambool. Are you there?
Yeah, here you are.
Good, Ben. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate.
What's happening in Warrnambool over the weekend, mate?
Not too much.
That's good. It's been a smooth interaction, Harry. I don't know why you're giggling in the corner. Ben, how have you felt through that interaction? That felt pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, that's good. Right, enough of this. I'll put you on to Harry.
All right, Benny. All right, Benny, boys. 7 players were booted 9 goals or more in a game at Etihad Stadium. Name 5 of the 7.
Mark McCrath, Steve Milne, Matthew Lloyd, Fraser Garrick, Matthew Lloyd. Matthew, Nick Rewalt.
Oh, I have to say no. You went Matthew Lloyd twice.
Oh.
Had a bit of a Google feel to it too, Ben.
Yeah. I'd love to give it to Ben, but you're the hanging judge, so it's up to you, Juddy.
I don't want to be a negative Nancy, but it just had a bit of a Google stance to it. So we can't go with you, Ben, and I want to keep moving on, mate, because I'm very, very busy here. And I'm just talking to Matt from Ballarat. Matt, are you there? Gooey. Matt from Ballarat, have we got you?
How's the quiz going tonight? Well, I'm not sure what's happening back
there
in the studio.
Matt from Ballarat is not where it's at. So we'll go for...
Oh, it's going real well, Chris.
This is really good, Chris.
We'll go back to Ben. Oh, no, Mark from Thornbury. Ben's the just one we singed, isn't
he? He is, mate.
Wait, I'm being set up here. Where's that bloke from compliance? Bernie from Melbourne.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Good, Bernie. How are you going, mate?
Good, Juddy. I won't keep you too busy with all the small chat, mate. I'll let you do
it. I think it's my turn to take
over. You're over now, Howie.
All right, Bern. 7 players have booted 9 goals or more in a game at Etihad Stadium, Bern. Name 5 of them.
Gerrard, Lloyd, Milne.
Yep.
McCrath.
Yep. One more.
Lockett.
No. Lockett. All right, Juddy. Hopefully the phone lines are continuing to work for you here.
We've got Josh from Faulkner. Josh, how are you going, mate?
Yeah, good, Juddy, yourself?
Good, thanks, mate. You're just on the road, are you?
Yeah, on the road.
What's on for tonight?
Not much. Just might watch your footy.
Sounds good, mate. Sounds good. Here's how.
I don't know how you ever got a missus, Juddy. I really don't. 7 players are booted, 9 goals or more, Josh, in a game at Etihad Stadium. Name 5 of them.
Lloydie.
Yep.
Mark McCrath.
Yep.
Stephen Milne.
Yep. 2 to go.
Nick Rewalt.
Yep. One more. Come on.
And Fraser Garrick.
You went Fraser Garrick twice and you went after the siren. So unfortunately, no good. Juddy, continue on. It's a tough one tonight. We've had people round or round about 1-3-5-3. Give us a call if you want to get yourself involved in the quiz.
Yeah, well, we're a bit scant for names here. I can call out the number, but I don't know if they want that on.
For a man who day trades and has to really watch the computer screens, you're not doing a great job at this.
But you're trying to operate this. I'm witnessing
this. Next to me here, I'm working under difficulties.
I'm enjoying it. Alan from Carrum. He didn't sweat when he played.
Alan from Carrum, you there?
Hello.
Alan, how are you, mate?
Yeah, you good, Johnny, yourself?
Gord, you haven't come across any of those stingers in the bay, have you, mate? Any of those sea lice?
Not yet.
That's good, mate. That's good.
All right.
Here's Howie.
7 players, Al, have booted 9 goals or more in a game at Etihad Stadium. Please, please name 5 of them, Alan. Yeah.
Gerrard, Milne, Rewalt, Lloyd and McCrath.
Yes. Well done. We'll get to us in...
Thank God for that.
Gee, we had a few problems. So that's Alan is on the line from Carrum. All right, Al, you're taking on Darcy. You're confident, Al? Right, we've got rid of Al. All right, Darcy coming in. probably hasn't been the best quiz we've ever run. You've been in charge of the worst quiz we've ever done, Brownie, but this one's not too far away as you just continue to eat your McDonald's there. All right, Darcy, here we go. It's a tough one. You're up against Alan at Carrum.
How did Juddy go?
He's warmed you up really nice.
Another big
technical
success, Duke.
Really?
So there's some good and bad, but overall I think it's pretty positive.
I want you to look at me in the eye and say you didn't look at that sheet as you went past the producer.
I didn't look at that sheet as I went past the... Mate,
we'll soon find out.
You mistake me for you. That is the difference.
Seven players, Darcy, have booted 9 goals or more in a game at Etihad Stadium. Name 5 of the 7.
Matthew Lloyd.
Yep.
Barry Hall.
No, you're out. Oh. Sorry. Oh, he didn't read the sheet too well. Mark McGrath, Stephen Milne, Matthew Lloyd, Fraser Gehrig, Nick Riewoldt, Lance Franklin,
9
and
goals or more.
David Neitz. Now it's your turn,
tough
Juddy,
quiz
to tell Al he's had the win.
Alan, you got the chocolates, mate.
Cheers, boys.
Congratulations.
Is that it? Al, how are you feeling?
We've got to work on this, Alan. You feeling good, mate?
Yeah, mate, ribbon.
That's good.
Yeah. Al, tickets for you and 3 mates at Etihad Stadium next week, and you're going running for 2 tickets to the AFL Grand Final. Good on you, Al.
Thanks, mate.
How'd you find your conversation with Juddy just as we let you go?
Yeah, no, exciting, mate, exciting.
Oh, there you go, exciting. Well done, Juddy. Very nicely done. Damo, let's just tick off a bit more news while we're waiting for Dale to fly into the box. What's happening at Hawthorn?
A little bit going on. Jago O'Meara, who we've talked about regularly, Howie, gets a return of football this weekend via the Hawks VFL outfit. So it's been a long time. Round 6 was the last time he played any form of footy, and that was only his 4th game of this first season he's had at Hawthorn. We know he's had the issues with the same knee that kept him out of football entirely for 2015 and 16. But the Hawks clearly feel they're on top of this now, and the plan is to get him to play these VFL games, and the VFL outfit could well go deep into the finals, as it often does. So if it all goes to plan, he'll get 5-6 games into his system and be ready for the pre-season for 2018.
Let's hope he does, Damo, because that is a very talented young man, Juddy, who's compared to your good self as a 17-year-old, and we saw a bit of it for 2 years.
Yeah.
It'd be a shame if he doesn't get back and fit. We're going to jump straight in there, though, Howie, because the man's entered the box who doesn't feel pain. Pain is not an issue for this man. I speak of Premiership player Dale Morris, who snapped his arm in half the other week. Dale, welcome to you.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I have been told just a minute ago by a medical expert out there that you're a chance to play next week. Is that true?
I'll be pushing the envelope each week and knocking the doctors and physios and fitness staff's door down to play. I wanted to play this week, but... You know, we'll
just steady on.
Yeah, I know. I've got a nice new scar here to show off, so it's
about
a nice
15
one.
15 centimetres, isn't it?
Oh, he's done a great job. The kids think it's Texter, that it's not real. Daddy's making it up. But no, when I told my youngest Charlie, who's all over the Avengers, that I've got a big plate in here that's like a Lego block, he goes, "So you're like Iron Man." Yes, I am.
He's actually right. His dad is like Iron Man. Played in the grand final with a broken back last year. We saw that arm break in half and went, well, that's good night. You know, bad luck for the rest of the year. That was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't pleasant when it happened. My arm was bending where it's not meant to bend. And Zimmer put it back in place in the change rooms as I was taking my boots off. But there wasn't a lot of pain after the break. The initial break was painful. But then after that, I just didn't feel anything.
Did you say he put it back in place
as best he could? Yeah, yeah.
So what does that involve, Doug?
Well, I had my arm up on the bench. I was taking my boots off. And he said, "I just want to try and manipulate this in a little bit."
That's where you say, no.
Oh. Yeah.
That's where normal people, how you do, tap the mat and say, not for me.
This man said, give it a go.
Did you have some gas at the time, Dale?
No, nothing.
Whistles?
No. So what did he do? No.
He grabbed, I had my arm up, I didn't want to watch, but he just grabbed it and pulled it, and you could feel like a suction and a pop sort of a feeling, but there wasn't no pain, and then before I knew it, it was feeling around, and I said, "Are you done?" He goes, "Yeah, I'm finished," but it was sitting 20 degrees out of place from the Saturday until I got the operation on Monday.
You are Iron Man, don't worry about it, you are Iron Man.
On top of that, I had to go to the Cairns Hospital, so I'm sitting there, busy, public area, heaps of people waiting to get scans, in my full Bulldogs kit because I couldn't get changed while the game's on the TV. So people are looking at the TV, looking at me, and said, "I'm just a big fan."
It's an extraordinary story, Joe. People miss 6 months of work for that happening. We're talking about a man who's going to play within 2 weeks, which is just a remarkable story. Talk about tonight, Dale, because for you to get up and running again, this is a massive game for the club. You really need to keep winning to keep that dream alive?
Oh, yeah. Every game from here on in is a big game. The competition is that even. There's teams knocking at the door for the top eight, and this game is a big game. They've got some injuries, but so do we. You look at our back six, it's fairly inexperienced. You compare it to last year's premiership team, and the starting six isn't there. Shane Biggs was on the bench, and he was the other backman to come through there. So it's a different looking team, but it's exciting. It's exciting to see what's going to happen tonight, and hopefully we can get it done.
Have to be a good feeling around the club. 4 weeks ago, you couldn't make it. You were gone. But now you put yourself in a position. You're inside the eight. You're playing at home against the premiership opposition. But you'd have to have that belief that if you make it, you can win it from anywhere.
We've always had that belief. Even at the start of the year and during the year, we weren't playing that great, but we still believed in each other, in our systems, our structures. So we just needed to find our way through that. The belief has never wavered, but you're right. We've seen last year, you get into the top eight and anything can happen.
Dave, well into your 30s now. Is there anything you've done to your training to modify it that you feel has really helped you still be able to play really good footy at this stage in your career?
The biggest thing that I've changed over the last couple of years is my diet. And I actually sat down with Acker. I still catch up with him now. And he had a different way of looking at things with food. And sat down with him and completely overhauled my diet. And I've never felt better, really.
So what have you done to your diet?
Completely cut out carbs, processed carbs, and basically relying on fats, good fats. If I need the carbs, it'll come from sweet potatoes and potatoes, so the natural sort of carbs and high in protein as well. So it's really a high-fat diet, which is good. I get to have my bacon and cook things in butter, have the avocados and all the rest of it, and I've never felt better.
Speaking of Dale Morris on the Friday Huddle, Dale, 239 games for you, 291 for your great mate Matty Boyd. He announced his retirement this week, and I turned onto Channel 10 News. There's a big statement about Matty Boyd retired, yep. And I look in the picture behind Brad McEwen, and it's a picture of you. Do you think after 239 games, people will need to start figuring out exactly who you are, and you're not the same person as Matty Boyd?
How do you reckon Boydie won 3 BNFs and 3 All-Australians?
So it was brought up at the club, no doubt?
No, it was brought up within the playing group. Right. The messages got sent around to everybody, and everyone was saying the boy just never looked so good. And yeah, it was very funny. We've had it our whole career.
Yeah.
I remember when Boydie got the captaincy, I went to the cafe at the footy club, and this older lady came up and said, "Oh, I've followed your career from day one, from VFL 2s, and now you've made your way. You're such an important player for the team." I'm going, "Oh, thank you. Yep, yep, yep." And she goes, "I'm just so so pleased for you to come from Frankston 2s. And as soon as she said that, I'm like, "Oh, no." And she said, "From Frankston 2s to now the captain of the footy club." And I'm there going, "Thanks. It means a lot to me." And she goes, "Oh, you're just my favourite player. I just know everything about you." And I said, "Okay, thanks. I've got to go." I couldn't break it to her.
I think you're too good a bloke to do anything other than that. Hey, you've been around for a long time, and I don't mean this to be a question that puts you under pressure, but of all the great players you've played with at the Bulldogs, where does Marcus Bontempelli, again, without wanting you to delve too deep, but where would he fit in your assessment?
Yeah, I've had this question quite a few times over the last couple of weeks. I've played with some great players of the footy club, as a junior coming through, I don't think I've seen anyone as good as Bonty come through the club, which is a big statement and big shoes to fill and all the rest of it. But he could, if he continues the way he's going, he could be one of the greatest the club's ever had, or right up there anyway. So he's done some things, and he's that tall. He's a tall midfielder, but he could play centre forward or centre half back. He's got a tank. He's got skills both sides of his body. He's just he's a special player. So where he goes, it's going to be very interesting.
They'll always remember and think of you in your very first game and playing the West Coast Eagles.
Adelaide.
Your second game.
You kicked 6, I reckon.
He started
this trend. I think you wore a mouth guard for the first time.
That was the first time I wore a mouth guard.
Every time you look at the tape, every time he took a mark, he grabbed the mouth guard and threw it 20 metres away and made the trainer go and pick it up and give it to him.
A bit more camera time, Dale.
It wasn't a sustainable move, that one. But it must have been an early game. Did you tag Ben Cousins in one of your first handful of games?
Yeah.
Am I rewriting history?
No, that's right. The first game was McLeod. And a couple
tag
of
McLeod,
games.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. And then I had Cousins as well in my first year. And spent a bit of time on Juddy as well, but I got moved off him because he was pretty quiet after I sat on him.
But that's amazing to go on and play on all the key forwards that you have, and to do it, to start your career as a tagging midfielder. It's an amazing evolution. Who wouldn't have thought then that you would have ended up playing the roles that you play?
Oh, definitely. I started off my career on the smaller, mid to small types of players, and then there was one game where Riewoldt was going pretty well, and then Rocket just said, have a go. And from there, it just took off. Started playing on the taller guys and letting Brian sag off and take his intercept marks. So it worked out well for me. But, just being able to adapt and play on the talls, the smalls and the mediums, the quicks, you know, the whole lot. That's the only reason why I'm still playing now, because of being able to do that.
Dale, so often people come in the box and you ask them about successes in this game and they're like, oh, you know, we put it behind us and we've got to look forward to the next season. So it's hard in some ways to talk about premierships until you've retired, but what did it mean for you, a grand final day last year?
It's hard to put into words what that day means and what it feels like and moving on after that. But the biggest thing that has stuck with me from that game is how many people that game actually touched and influenced and impacted on. Bulldog supporters and non-Bulldog supporters, not even AFL supporters, knew about it. Getting stopped in the streets at the shops, people slamming the brakes on their car just to say thanks was incredible. Just blew my mind on how many people that game impacted.
So there was people coming up in the street and saying, Boydie, congratulations.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't mind shaking their hand. I didn't care.
Well, mate, it's a treat to have you in here. We don't hear much from you, but I think we need to get you involved a little bit more. I'm not sure you're going to go down the Juddy path and become a complete loose cannon when you retire. But looking forward next season?
Yeah, I will play for as long as the club wants me. If there's a role and they see a position there for me, I'll be there.
All right. And genuine chance next week, Dale, to play?
We'll have to wait and see how this thing pulls up. Got a big session tomorrow, so we'll see how we go.
All right, best of luck with that.
Unbelievable effort. Mm. You come back from snapped arm in half and be a chance to play within 3 weeks, Howie, is just Herculean. Unbelievable. Good to see you, Dale.
No, thank you very much. Cheers.
Great to have Dale Morris in the box. We don't hear from Dale a great deal, but as I said, I think we should hear a little bit more.
He's an absolute ripper.
Absolutely. Now, you were just talking about the Hawks and you're talking about Jager O'Meara. Josh Gibson, where he's at, hasn't played for a long time.
No, he's had a groin issue, as we've known, and it's been a really injury-interrupted final season for him. Really hopeful by way of his hot thoughts this week, Howie, to get back for round 23 to play in what would be a last game with Luke Hodge. So I think everyone hopes he can, and you'd think if he declared himself fit, would you
allow him to? Particularly with a groin. It's not like a torn hamstring. It's... you know, if need be, you could even put some local anaesthetic in it and get out there and...
deal with it after it.
Deal with it for the next 50 years.
And how you, I know we've talked about this at the time, but just to absorb it again when you say it, it's like two best and fairest in premiership years. Jason Dunstall did it. I remember doing the exercise some time ago. I think one of Simon Black or Michael Voss did it. And there's only, I think, one other person, maybe Lee Matthews, in the history, I think, of footy. And it's just extraordinary to think that Josh Gibson is in that conversation.
And that, for me, is the biggest individual award.
Yep.
It doesn't really get recognised as such, but a best and fairest in a premiership year, I think that's the number one individual award any player can win.
Why were those six rows back at the Judd Cup? They didn't even get up the front. The club being hit. They were hidden behind Lee Matthews trophies.
They were.
All Australian photos.
Hopefully he does squeeze in. There's not much room in sentiment for modern footy. I remember it was probably Kaczynski a couple of years ago that was coming off injury and he was hoping to get the last game. So surely the Hawks would do everything they can to get Josh out there.
I think we'll know pretty soon too, even though it's 2 weeks away after this round of footy, but he'll have to make a call on it, I would think, next week. So, yeah. But look, I hope he can, and I think everyone else does too.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.